Hi, and welcome to the sixth day of Potterwares podcast. Today we're going to be talking about repotting, and I have with me Bessie Boo and Night Tracer.
Hi.
Hi.
So, yeah, repotting, for those that have never heard the term before, because it was kind of coined insularly, but it is when someone makes a podfic of a fic that has already been podficked, generally by someone else. I don't think I've heard of anyone repotting their own, but it could totally happen, so I'm not limiting.
Well,
actually, I have heard of people going back and like doing like updated versions of their podfics, which
I wouldn't quite I would consider that remastering more than repotting. Well, if I was going to repod my own thing, I'd be like, so here's one version and here's a completely different version.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of trying to do. Is I'm doing the fic I said I was going to try and do in an American accent. I was going to do both. I was going to do one, just me doing it, and then the American accent version.
I totally have a plan to do that with an SGA one starring Carson, where I want to try out my Scottish accent. So, yeah, repotting, just when you make, when there's two versions of the same podfic. Or, no.
Yeah, because everything that went on, I want to make sure that there's at least one good but listenable version.
That's fair.
In case my American is just that bad.
Yeah. I guess I want to talk, I'm going to start off on a little bit of a downer note of just how there's, repotting, I think, is becoming more popular, or more people are aware of it, even if they're not necessarily doing it that much. Mm-hmm. But it was like really a taboo thing for a long time. And to some people, it still is a taboo thing because there's a lot of hurt feelings involved with repotting.
Although I will say, I feel like even just like now, like, especially opposed to like
2 years ago, it was like,
or even like a year ago, like I feel like there's like much less of a stigma now.
Yeah.
Surrounding like the whole repotting issue. Like I feel like it's much more likely. I feel like you're a lot more likely now to, if you want to repot a podfic, to come across an author and another podficker who are either like, they're either like, yeah, okay, sure, if you want to, I don't care. Or like, yeah, that's cool. Like, I feel like you're a lot less likely to come across somebody who's like, I'm really uncomfortable with this now than you would have, like, a year ago.
And I think that's largely because we've started talking about it more. Like,
yeah.
Not to toot my own horn, but about a year ago,
multipodicity. Yeah.
And that, for those who haven't heard of it, it is a repotting com where basically you sign up and it's kind of like it was based on the fic remix comms out there, where you sign up and all your history of podfic is put on the table, and you're assigned to someone who you have to choose one of their podfics and podfic it yourself. And meanwhile, someone's going to be assigned to you and they'll repod one of your fics or one of your podfics. Mm-hmm. So that's what multipodicity is. And I think just by having that and opening the conversation, because before this, even though there had been like the first repod that I was aware of was Anitsuno and General Ginger.
Oh yeah.
They both podded A Beautiful Lifetime Event. Mm-hmm. And they did it. They both really loved the story and they both wanted to do it. And when they discovered that, they're like, well, let's make a political statement about this. So they both podded it and they deliberately released them at the exact same time.
So would you say that was repodding if they do it at the same time? Because I wasn't sure about that.
I don't think repotting. I guess the repot, like the repart of that, can be a little problematic when you talk about stuff like that. I do know that General Ginger finished before Anitsuno and held hers back until Anitsuno was done, or possibly the other way. But I'm pretty sure General finished first, or Ginger finished first. But I guess it's not technically repotting, because there isn't, I don't really think of repotting as like an original and a secondary one.
It's just multiple versions.
Yeah, like that's kind of the
how I was thinking of it. Yeah,
that's part of the reason why because I originally called, when I created Multipodicity, it was originally called Pod Remix, and some mm-hmm. people were like, well, that there was like some concerns about the title being problematic. And so I ended up pulling the audience. And when someone offered up the name Multipodicity, I'm like, oh, I like that, because it's not really like repod was came in second place for most likely to get done, which is why I think we refer to the action as repodding. But I like the term multipodicity a bit more, just because it now it's talking about multiple pods as opposed to, you know, redoing something. So
okay.
Maybe we chose the wrong terminology. Maybe it should be multipod and or multipodicity as the verb instead of repod.
I don't know.
I think repod is like is applicable in, if not all cases, a lot of cases, because it, yeah. I think in most cases out there, there was, you know, a version that did come out first. There have been several cases, I think, since that one with A Beautiful Lifetime event where two podfickers have released a podfic simultaneously. Like, yeah. I know what happened. Revolutionary Joe originally did Drastically Redefining Protocol, and then Lunchy yeah. did her own version, but then they both did when the wedding timestamp came out, they both did it, and then they had each other podfic it, or beta it rather, they had each other they okay. beta each other's recordings and then released them at the same time.
That's cool. I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah.
I could, like, at the moment, KLB and Crazy Butt Sound are doing the great fic Tell Me to Stop in Bandom, and they're doing it at the same time. They're doing it releasing it in installments. And okay. You get the two hours when you go, yes, I've got to listen to them both right away and back to back. And it's just like, that's a bit insane. But
and I think since there's been a lot more repotting going on, it's really helped spread ideas and awareness and of the reasons why people repod, because I think the reasons why there were so many hurt feelings originally is because everyone, like if someone went and repotted your work, there was this assumption it was because you felt I did it wrong or that it wasn't very good. And
yeah, I remember when I first got into like actually dug in and was like, I want to make my own podfic. One of the first things I decided I wanted to do was one of my best friends and I both love Chicago's Most Wanted. It's one of our favorite fics by Cesperanza. And Zabira has a really great podfic of it. But like in real life, the friend who I want to do it with it, like she's basically like the real life Frasier to my Ray. And we were totally like, oh my god, we love this fic. And I was like, why don't we do a two-voice version of it where I read Ray's parts and you read Fraser's parts, since it's an alternating POV fic and it would work really naturally for that. And but I was just getting into like the creation side of podfic. And so I was like, well, I know Zabira's already done a version of this because I've listened to it and I really like it. But I wonder if it would be okay for me to record my own version. So I actually went and researched it for like several hours. And one of the first things I actually came across, just through like Google searches and things, was Juice817's meta post back that's probably a little over a year old now. I think it was from less.
It's older than that. It's at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years. But okay. Well, timelines doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's one of the first things I came across anyway. And she was talking about how she felt like if somebody repotted were to repod one of her podfics, she would feel like, oh, well, it's probably because they didn't like my reading of it or because I failed the source material in some way. And that made me stop. And I was like, oh, well, I wonder if I should do it then. Like if people feel this way, you know, but, luckily enough, I actually persevered and ended up, I think I found some, meta by you actually.
Probably.
I think it was right around the time that like the first multipodicity had like just finished up or was just going on or something like that, and so I was like, well, it seems like people, I'm not sure how much better informed I am now after like 3 hours of research, since there seem to be really mixed opinions on this, but I still really want to do this. So I ended up emailing Sesperanza, and she was like, yeah, that sounds great, go for it, sounds really cool. And a year later, it is still in production. But the podfic is indeed going ahead, and I feel like a year later now, I am way more comfortable. Like, I'm kind of glad in a way that we waited, because I feel like it's totally, I totally feel comfortable posting that now. Yeah. Because back then I was like, oh, I feel like I have to justify it. Like, no, look, I really like Sabir's version, but look, it's a two voice version. So it's like different, you know, but now I feel like I'm totally comfortable enough. Like, even if it didn't have that, like really big distinguishing factor of the difference, like I would totally feel comfortable doing it anyway, because I am now really comfortable with the idea of repotting.
I would just like to give a little background on Juice817. And of course I can't speak for her, but I know she's talked about it since, and I've read it because I read all the meta.
All of the meta.
But she's actually changed her opinion on repotting since then. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's of the opinion that she would repot something, but she's like, after making that post and some of the discussions that came from that, she's kind of like, okay, I can see the value in repotting, and I wouldn't be upset anymore if someone repotted something of mine. And I think that's a big thing. If, like, people just, like, especially right now when repotting, like, there isn't a huge amount of repotting, even though there's a lot more. If the reader knows your reasons for it, and your reasons aren't, I think you suck, which are never a good reason. Right. But or certainly never a good reason to share. Right. It could be a legitimate reason for you to want to repot it. But
no, I absolutely do think that that's, because, like, at the end of the day, sometimes some accents or some people's particular voices just don't work for other particular people, and that's fine, you know? Like, that's not something that is, like, it's not like, oh my god, I hate your voice. It's just, it's a personal thing, and some people's voices don't work as well for other people, and some people's voices work really well for other people.
And it's not even a quality of voice, and I use quality as a, not trying to say a good or a bad thing, just, like,
right,
the level mm-hmm. that you can have, yeah, the spectrum of quality of voice. Is it's not even, like, a matter of, like, what the voice sounds like. Sometimes it can just be, like, the style of reading. Like, the way you read this sentence just doesn't work with how I hear it. Like, there's...
Right. Podfic has a lot of interpretation in it. And
there's a lot of subjective qualities to what makes a good podfic or not.
Absolutely.
I know one of the first things that really made me want to repod, there's City of a Thousand Wonders, I believe it's called, by Astolat. It's an American mm-hmm. Idol podfic. And there's another podficker who has an unpronounceable name because there's a lot of numbers and letters in it, who podficked it. And she does an amazing version of it. I listened to her version hundreds of times and I love it. But I found it really interesting and kind of weird almost to listen to it too, because the emphasis that she puts on words are almost the exact opposite of how I would do it. So it's like, I really want to hear just how different the two versions would be. And it was my dastardly plan as Maud to assign her to myself for the first round of Multipodicity. But
and then KLB stole her, right?
Yes, she did. Because KLB only wanted Bandom, and this reader was the only one that had Bandom stuff on the table. So as a Maud, I had to match them up. I was really happy with who I ended up with anyways, but that was just one that I had specific, and I keep talking about doing it, but I...
Yeah, do it anyway!
Oh yeah, and the podficker knows that I want to do that, and she was totally supportive of me doing it. It's just a matter of, like, the time.
Yeah, right.
Oh, the time.
Always a problem. Oh, the time.
But, like, as soon as someone...
Well, actually... It's interesting, actually, that you talk about time, because I know one of the things that some people have said, one of the reasons that some people say they object to repotting is because podfic is, you know, it's time intensive. No matter how quick your editing is, it's still, if you do, you know, an 8-hour podfic is still going to take at absolute minimum, like, you know, 16, 17 hours of time. Yeah.
Like, even if you were to post it completely unedited, like, that's still 8 hours.
Exactly. It's so time intensive. And so because it's such a time intensive endeavor, I know a lot of people are like, well, there's so much fic out there. So much fic in all of the fandoms. And there's comparatively, I mean, there's a lot more podfic now than there used to be, but there's comparatively little podfic, so little podfic, yeah. A fraction compared to the amount of fic out there. And I know some people's objection to repodding is they're like, well, if you're going to spend all this time doing it, then why don't you do something that hasn't already been podfic so that you can expand the podfic library?
And I think a lot of podficers make that choice on their own where they're like, so I really wanted to podfic this. However, I have a list of things to podfic a mile long. Mm-hmm. Why would I make a second copy when I can move on to something else? But my argument to that is always, and there's also the reader side where it's like, I already have a version of that. Give me something new. So there's that, they're not demanding quite that bluntly, but that's
no, I mean, it's supply and demand, basic economics, you know.
And podfic is definitely, in most places, working on an economy of scarcity.
Right.
But anyways, but the other side that my argument against that is always, well, there's a ton of podfic, there's other stories to podfic now. Like, I mean, podfic's still young and it's growing really, really fast.
Right.
Who's to say that in like 5 years that it's going to be the case where, you know, there's, I think there's always going to be more fic than podfic. I don't think.
Oh, absolutely. Unquestionably, I think there will, partially because we're working on a backlog. Like, if you go back to some of the really old fic, like, dude, there are archives some places that have Star Trek fanzines archived online from the 70s, okay? Right. We're working on a 40-year backlog here.
Yeah, there's always going to be more fic. But the other thing is, like, yeah, there's a 40-year backlog, but there's a lot of, like, you know, not to diss the older fandoms, but they don't have the fan base now that they used to.
No, it's totally true.
And so there's not going to be as many people interested in the older stuff as there is in the current stuff. And if you're like, in a small fandom, like, you know, really small fandom, I'm going to pull out an example here of Old Spice. Because I did an Old Spice anthology podfic, and I was... the author offered that I podfic one of her other Old Spice stories. And then I found out, I think it was Lunate 8 was going to podfic it too. And I was kind of like, I don't know if I really want to get into this podficking this fandom that hard. And then I was like, oh, someone else is doing it. Perfect. I don't need to. Mm-hmm. So, like, but you know, if I had really wanted to do that and Lunate 8 really wanted to do that, it's not like there's a hell of a lot of fic in Old Spice fandom.
Right.
So it's like, well, we can both podfic it, or, like, only one of us can, but then there's only, like, that's most of the fic in the fandom. So,
yeah.
You know, in a case like that, you have to have repodding if you both want to be able to express yourself.
Totally. Like, as somebody who has done podfic in, like, tons of tiny fandoms, but I don't think I've ever done more than two podfics in a single fandom at this point. And I've released, like, I don't know, like 15 or 16 podfics probably. And so I do tons of, like, multi-fandom stuff. So, like, my longest podfic is in Calvin and Hobbes fandom, okay? Do you know how many stories there are in Calvin and Hobbes fandom? There's, like, 5. So, like, if somebody else was like, and there's actually, surprisingly, like, 3 of those are podficked. And
Amplificathon is a beautiful thing.
I know, right? And mine wasn't even for Amplificathon. I just really liked that fic. But it was like an hour and 40-minute podfic. And it's one of the, like, in my opinion, the best Calvin and Hobbes fics out there out of, you know, a choice of probably literally around 20 fics on AO3. And most of those fics are, like, under 500-word crossover drabbles. And so if you want, like, a significant, like, actual Calvin and Hobbes fic, there's, like, maybe legitimately, like, 8 of them on AO3. And so I podficked one of them. But if somebody else comes in and is like, man, I really would love to do a podfic in Calvin and Hobbes fandom. I think Calvin's voice is interesting, and I really want to try Susie. I mean, one of the reasons that I really loved it was because I found it really easy to get into Susie's voice, because I'm kind of a Susie. And like, if somebody else had those similar reasons for wanting to do a Calvin and Hobbes podfic, there ain't a lot of choice. So yeah. I think I would totally love to see their interpretation of it, you know?
And there's always going to be, like, there's no point in denying it. There's always the popular fix in a fandom.
Right.
And there's the ones that everyone reads. There's the ones that everyone loves. And I use everyone really, really loosely.
Well, but there are the fix that obviously get the most praise. And
yeah. And someone, like, and especially like, if you're someone who's not...
See Drastically Redefining Protocol, you know?
And especially if you're someone who's not deeply into a fandom, like, you're only skimming, like, the reckless that have absolutely... Like, you know, the fix that absolutely everyone has read.
Right.
You only skim the very top of a fandom. You're like, well, I want to podfix something in this fandom, but it's not my main fandom. I'm not going to dig down to find something that I like that hasn't been done before. When there's this thing that I really like, it calls to me artistically, but someone's already done it. Like, you should be free to go and do that. And I think it's getting more accepted to go and do that.
And that's another wreck for the story or the podfix. I was like, when I was looking at, okay, I'm going to read something of your, listen to something of yours. And I saw that podfic had been repotted by someone else. I thought, okay, that must mean that this story is really good. And then I went, okay, what's what this few of these stories about? And then, okay, I'm going to start with this one. This definitely has, you know, the two wrecks from the two podfickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that gets into, too, like, podfic as a wreck, you know? Because... I mean, charity auctions aside, like, podfic is such a strong wreck for a story because you are pouring all this time into, like, creating something based on this story.
Yeah, and you're, like, an objective person who's putting all this time into it because I don't want to deny the fact that the author's putting a lot of time into it, but they're not exactly objective about their own work.
Well, obviously. I mean, this is somebody who's – I mean, I'm not just coming and, like, writing up a paragraph on a rec community or my personal journal about how much I write this – like this fic, you know. That would take most people probably, what, like, maximum 30 minutes to come up with a really good, like, solid rec for a fic. Like, podfic, there's no way you're spending only 30 minutes on a podfic unless it's, like, a 200-word fic, you know?
Yeah.
So you're pouring hours and hours of your time into just how much you love this fic. And, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I pod a podfic, like, just the amount sheer amount of times that you have to read it over and over again, you know? Because, like, I know I probably read it and listen to it less than a lot of people, but I... do it more than some, and I obviously I will have read the story at least once to have decided to podfic it. If I'm deciding to podfic it, I've probably read it multiple times because I like it that much. And then there's the time, I know some people do like a first read that they just like record as like a thing. I don't, but I know some people do. That's, and then the amount of time that you have to listen to it in editing, you know? I mean, you listen to each minute probably while you're editing. I know I probably listen to each minute like two or three times. I don't know. Yeah. And then I know that I, once I'm totally done, so that's just in editing. And then once I'm totally done with editing, I listen to the entire thing all the way through before releasing it.
Yeah.
So that's what?
A lot of time.
That's a lot of, like, that's probably a minimum of, like, you have read the story a absolute bare minimum of, like, 4 to 5 times just in the process of making the podfic.
Yeah.
So that's...
You must love it.
There's a lot of love there to be able to, like, reread something that many times, you know?
When we're talking about some of the reasons why people don't podfic more is that, you know... People podfic for their audience. They podfic to build an audience. They want to, like, it's not, that makes it sound really cold and calculating, but, like, you know, people produce fan work for other people. Otherwise, they would never post it publicly. They would just keep it for themselves.
Exactly.
So if you're out there trying to, like, entice fans, and I mean that in the most, like, okay, some people are probably deliberately trying to entice fans, but a lot of people are just subconsciously doing it, where you know that if you go and podfic something that someone's already podficked, well, you've already lost out on some fans because there's going to be some people attached to that. Same like in the vidding fandom where some people are like, you can't vid to this song.
Oh, yeah.
Because someone else has done an amazing vid to it, you're going to be compared forever. So, like, I mean, I think it's a legitimate choice for people to be like, you know, I'm just not interested in repotting personally. But I also really like the idea of people who want to experiment. And as the mod of Multipodicity. I've actually discovered more this year than I realized last year, but there is a lot of people that they signed up and they had never podficked before, which of course I realized because they didn't have any podfics to repod, but they like it was their gateway into podfic fandom. I think Weimar, who's the co-mod for PodAware, that was her first podfic, which she did it for Multipodicity. And she's like a really prolific podficker now. She's done a lot.
Yeah, she posts so much podfic now.
Yeah, but like, and I think the reason why that happened is because there's some safety in repotting. If you're someone, yeah, if you're someone who's like, well, I'd like to try this, but, and there's so many people that are insecure before they get started. They're like, I don't know if I'm good. What if people don't like my voice? What if I suck? Like, and they're like, well, if I go and podfic something that's already podficked, at least if I suck, there's a good version out there.
Yeah.
So like, and I'm not trying to like, promote that idea, but you know, it can be a comfort in that way. Kind of like how I always suggest newbies try and find a fic that they like from an author that gives blanket permission, because you're already so stressed about stuff that can, if you can do something to shed some of that stress, you should. So we've talked about, how about we talk about our own experiences with it? Because, Bessie, you've had one of yours repotted now that you've done Multipodicity. Did you listen to yours? How did it feel?
Yeah. Well, actually the really funny thing about that was that, this kind of ties into the accents thing too, is that one of the things that I find really interesting about Multipodicity is hearing different people's takes, and part of that is accents. And the person who got me is Lunate8, and she did a great job, but it just so happens that she's one of two other podfickers besides me who are like active in the fandom, who lives in the exact same city I do. So
and
she
I know all of you.
Yes. So she has like the exact same accent as me. So I just thought that was like kind of funny. Not necessarily like good or bad. It was just like kind of humorous. No, she did a really great job. I found it interesting because the story that we did was Life in the 21st Century, which is about the character Hardison from Leverage and basically his lifelong involvement with fandom. And it's got all of these, it's jam-packed with references to like all these various like genre shows and series and things. And so there's like tons and tons of various character names and worlds and things like that. And obviously there's probably, I mean, I'm sure there's some people in fandom who like know every single reference in that fic, but probably a very large percentage of fandom would not recognize every single, like if they, even if they know the, where it's from, they haven't like, they're not like in the fandom, you know?
Yeah.
So
great fandom osmosis that way. I knew what Ponfar was before I knew anything about Star Trek.
Oh, totally. Totally. So yeah, it's totally a Finnish osmosis thing. So I noticed that with some of the character names, like there were some that I was like, I am pretty sure I'm pronouncing this thing wrong, but I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And I have never watched the show. And with that particular fic, I was like, I really want to get this podfic just out tonight because it was for somebody who was having a really bad week. So I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to do what I think is right. And I don't know what her thoughts were specifically re-pronunciation, but so I know that I like probably pronounced a couple of things wrong, a couple of the fandom character names, whatever. And I noticed when I was listening to her version that I think she pronounced a couple of things wrong too, but we pronounced different things wrong just because of, you know, different Fanish osmosis, kind of.
Yeah.
And so, like, between us, I'm pretty sure we pronounced every single, like, fandom reference and character name right, but, like,
different ones.
Ones, which I found kind of interesting and funny.
I know for me, like, my first year of Multipodicity, Revolutionary Joe got me. Mm-hmm. And the one that sticks out, she did two of mine. Actually, both years, I've had someone do two of mine. When Joe repotted mine, there was one called 1 a.m. And it's this story of Adam Lambert taking his boyfriend, Chris Allen, to the emergency room because he fell down the stairs and, like, hurt himself. And so he's in the ER with his boyfriend with, like, black eye and who hurt himself, and the doctor is glaring daggers at him because he's assuming it's domestic abuse. And Chris is completely oblivious to this fact. He's like, I fell down the stairs. Didn't I tell you that? Adam's just like, and I can't even explain it to him because then I'm going to like get arrested. So he's just like sitting there reflecting, this is my life. And it's a great scene. But the way I read it with this like, because, you know, his boyfriend got hurt. And there's like this great talk of how he like defied laws of physics to get his boyfriend there on like as soon as possible. And so I was reading the whole thing with this like hysterical edge where like Adam is on the brink, he's about to fall over it, and he's thinking about this stupid shit about domestic abuse because otherwise he's gonna lose it. Meanwhile, when Jo read it, she read it with this like, yeah, so they think I'm abusing my boyfriend, and like this totally resigned voice of like, this is my life. Oh my God, how did this happen? And it's just such a different reading. And I love that. I love that we took the same story and approached it from like, and it's the same, it's both readings are in there. And it's just so great for me to see how the two of them happened and the different sounds that came from it and like the feel of them.
I have another podfic that technically mine was a repod, although I think they were released in like the same month. And what happened was, there was this fic, this DCU Harley Quinn fic. And the day my cat died this past summer, I was really, really sad. And I kind of wanted to pour all of my feelings into a podfic. And this fic had been on my list of, you know, things to podfic for a while, and I was like, man, this one will be really perfect for how I'm feeling right now. And then I went to go to start recording it, and like, I literally like open up the page, and I like, while I'm doing it, I refresh Amplificathon, and Rena has just posted a podfic of that story. And so I'm kind of like, oh, well, you know, whatever, okay. And I like made a comment, I was actually just about to record this, mind if I do a version? And she was like, yeah, go ahead. And so I went ahead and recorded it, and then I posted it later. And I didn't listen to her version, obviously, before I recorded mine. And this, and it struck me when I listened to her version after I'd finished with mine, how totally and completely different they were. Like, and I think it really stemmed from, partly, I was approaching mine from a different emotional place, obviously, but it comes down to different headcanon for the character too, because the way that I read it, the story is basically Harley Quinn, and it's about her and the Joker and also her relationship with Ivy, and it's kind of just sort of a internal reflection, from the point of view of Harley Quinn and about her relationships and things. And I read it, my personal headcanon for Harley Quinn is that she's crazy, but she has these, her character, she was originally a psychiatrist at Arkham. She was a shrink at Arkham originally. She was a, you know, smart doctor. And and she became obsessed with one of her patients, the Joker, and basically went mad and ended up joining him in his evil doings. But because of her background, the way that my headcanon is for the character, I kind of think that she has these sort of moments of, she's crazy, but she has these moments of lucidity where she kind of is like, geez, this is my life. I kind of can't believe this, but, you know, she's kind of resigned to it, and then she, like, you know, wakes up the next morning, and she just, like, totally batshit again. But, and so the way that I read the fic was that, you know, keeping in mind that, you know, I read it when I was super, super sad, I was, like, really, really, the reading was very, like, resigned in a sort of super depressed, angsty sort of way. And so the reading came out very, very sort of dark and sad and super sort of downtrodden. and in a this is my life, but there's nothing I can do to change it right now sort of way, very much resigned to her fate. And then I listened to Rena's version, and the way she read it, and I talked with her about her headcanon for Harley Quinn after this, she read it basically as sort of, she's just a total psychopath who's completely disconnected from the events that are happening. And so she read it in this sort of like aloof, disconnected from the events that are actually happening sort of way. She read it, it was kind of like, I don't know, I can't even describe it, but it was very much, it was not depressed. It was dark, but it was dark in a sort of like, oh my God, like, you listen to the words that she's saying and you're like, oh my God, she's saying this. Oh my God, what is she saying? And for her, it's really about like the disconnect between the feeling that she's reading it with and the words that she's saying. Whereas for me, for my version, it was all about like the tone and the feeling behind it. And so, and even like the music, like there's a little quote at the beginning, the name of the fic is Chain of Flowers, and she posts a little like lyric clip from the song it's from at the beginning. And Rena put the music at the beginning, and it's this very kind of like happy, upbeat, like, you know, wah, song. And I read it sort of poetry slam style, just like at the beginning, just prose style. I read it in this very, very sad, sad voice. And it completely changes the tone of the whole thing. And so I was just really... I was shocked when I heard how different the versions were. It was really, really fascinating.
And I have a flip side story about that, also involving Rena, because Rena got me this year for Multipodicity, and she's podfic two of my, or she's repotted two of my stories. And I found it kind of, like, really amusing listening to her take on it, because we read in a really similar style. Like, just the way that where we put our inflections and things like that is very similar. And it was kind of like, listening to her version of it, it was always like, this is me reading it in a different voice, because we were so close together, or at least that's what I found. And I found it funny, we were both like, except I read faster than you, or slower, I don't remember which one, but yeah. We were like, our speed is different. And both of us said that we were like the same difference in speed as the other. Like, if it was slower, I was like, I read slower than you. And she's like, yeah, and I totally read slower than you. I'm like, oh. Apparently we both had different thoughts on that. But I think she backed it up with, I think we were actually saying we read faster than the other one. And she's like, but mine is shorter, so clearly I read faster. And I'm like, okay. It just felt like I read faster. But even though like we had very similar inflections, our podfics are very different, because like one thing that to me made it feel very different is I'm not someone who puts a lot of music in my podfic. I'm very like in my creative process, the music comes first. And so it's hard for me to apply music to a pre-existing story. Generally, I get stories from music. So just in my process, it's out of whack. So I don't generally add music to my podfics unless there's a very strong reference to it, generally because the author has based it on a song. And so I had done that for, like, one of the things that she had repotted was a husband revealing magical lemonade, or how Chris learned to keep cool and go with it, or keep calm and go with it. And the author had actually posted, like, a little, like, a really mini fan mix of, like, this was the music I was thinking of and writing to when I wrote it. And so I included some of that in it. And Rena was just like, she went and included, no, I'm getting them mixed up. I had one that didn't have any music, and she like made a whole fan mix of it for Girl, You're Like a Weird Vacation. Oh, so she's like, so much music. And so she went and added all, like, I don't think she added each of the song, but she made a full on fan mix to accompany her podfic and included some of that music in. Whereas I just like didn't touch music at all. And in the magical revealing lemonade one, which I just butchered the title, but husband revealing magical lemonade.
Yes.
Such a long title. I generally just call it the lemonade one in my head. But anyways, she, like, that one was a case where we just used completely different music. And even though, like, our reading was similar, the music just sets the scene very differently.
It does. Music actually is a really, really interesting thing to look at with repotting. Because, like, Rena has done quite a few, both that people have recorded after her and that she's recorded after other people. And she uses music in almost all of her podfics. She's a really, really heavy proponent of music in podfics, which is cool most of the time. And so that can be a really interesting, like you said, it like totally sets the scene. So like the Harley Quinn story I was talking about, I use music at the beginning of mine too, and she uses, like I said, this really kind of like upbeat sort of 80s yeah. rock kind of thing that's like really for me just like totally opposite to the tone of the fic, which kind of fits with her reading of it. But I used a instrumental track from the Dark Angel soundtrack, which is very much like like dark and sad and, you know, and quiet and instrumental. And so like, and then I read the prose lyrics bit instead of playing the lyrics in the song. So like, even just the music setting at the beginning, you're totally right, is like a really interesting part of repotting that is maybe something that's more subtle and people don't think about as much.
Which just goes to show that, like, you know, there's always something different that you can do with it. Even if you don't think there is, even if you have a really similar reading style to the person that read it, it can, you can still add something different. And I know as the mod of Multipodicity, I tend to have kind of not low expectations, but like I have certain expectations for my comms. And podfic fandom always shatters them and goes so far beyond. And it makes me, it just fills me with glee. Because, like, I kind of just expected people to be like, so I'm going to, like, just listen to this cult. Like, a lot of people go into the idea of of repotting, which is kind of my mindset, too, of I'm just going to record it like I would. And I'll listen to the original version later so that, like, I can have my own pure. So I'm not going to have it, like, influenced by what the other podficker did. But there are a lot of, like, KLB was talking about how she was like, okay, how can I make this different? So she read it in this style that was, like, completely outside of her norm to, like, differentiate it. And one of her friends was like, what is this? Like, you read this? This doesn't sound like you at all. And she's like, that was deliberate. Or, like, people who one of my roommates signed up for it last year, and I think for time constraint she ended up not doing this, but she's like, how can I make this story different? And she was, her plan was to read it in a different order than it had been written, because it was like, it had like some funky, like, I think the story was told in a reverse chronological order where it started at the end and went to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, let's do it the other way. And so she had asked the author for permission and gotten it. But I think timing, it was like, it was so much work to try and make it work that she ended up not doing it. But she was totally planning on like, well, let's make it really different and change the complete order of the story.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, certainly when you start doing, like, you know, when Bessie was talking earlier about bringing in multiple voices, that can make such a difference.
Oh, so much. Like, I am tentatively maybe going to organize, when my life gets a little less busy, a multiple voice version of pairing Pendragon Merlin.
Oh, cool.
And I've actually gotten author permission, which is harder than you might think, since it was written by a person who is still anonymous. And and so I'm tentatively going to make that happen, because I think that's a story that, like, lends itself so well to, like, a full cast, because it's got all the, you know, like, you know, emails and IMs and various, like, journal entries and things.
Stuff like that, especially, like, I think of Queensguard, or I think of Tomorrow. No, what's the SGA one?
Written by the Victors.
Written by the Victors.
That one, like, is amazing.
Can you imagine, like, those are such amazing multi-voice projects. But I could imagine someone easily have just reading it in one voice.
Well,
but like having like I can't imagine like honestly like it being half as amazing in a single voice. But there's probably a lot of podfics out there that was read in a single voice that would do so much better for a multi-voice.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about that one, and the reason I mention it here, is because Lunchy has recorded a single voice version of Perrin Pendragon Merlin.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's a really, really great version. I like it a lot. She did some really, really interesting things with sound effects.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Lunchy's like the queen of sound effects. And she did some really interesting things using like sound effects and sort of editing like post-production voice filters to like echoes and things to differentiate the different like characters and types of media. Like she does a thing where whenever they like cut to Twitter, there's like a like tweeting sound. And the really interesting thing about that is that when Lunchy first came out with that fic, I was like, oh my God, somebody actually recorded this. Because I had already been planning on doing my multicast version at that point. Part of the reason that I was planning on doing it was because I was like, I can't even possibly imagine how you could record this fic as a podfic with only one voice. And then she came out with that, and I was like, wow, I'm really impressed with how she managed to do this. But I still think it would be a really interesting thing to do with, like, you know, multiple voices. So. Yeah.
The main thing about repotting was I just thought, ooh, this sounds really exciting. I have no idea how to do it, but I want to give it a shot. And then I thought I could combine that with my kind of trying to see if I can do an American accent. I thought that way at least I'll be doing something different and interesting and people can compare. And it just sounded fun, to be honest. And I'm glad I tried it. I don't think I quite understood how sensitive the issue could be until I actually started getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know if I was maybe inferring this, but I kind of got the idea that one of the reasons why you wanted to do a repod instead of just trying any story to do an American accent was because you wanted to listen to someone with an American accent so you could try and imitate
it. Yes, I'm going to try and not do it line by line because that probably come out really badly,
I thought that was an amazing reason and a great way to get experimental.
Yeah, that sounds... I love that idea. I love it.
Like, I just adore that idea. So,
Try not to do it too on the nose, but yeah, definitely. I think it'll be quite fun to try and do and see. That way I can actually hear how they do it and how they pronounce certain words or how the sentence sounds together. I don't know.
No, that absolutely makes sense to me, totally.
Especially since there's some words that you just don't realize are pronounced different, or you forget because you're speaking naturally that it's pronounced differently. Yeah. So hearing it can make a big difference. So I thought that was an amazing idea. It made me so pleased to hear it.
I'll try it.
But you ran into some difficulties. So, like, tell your story from start to finish.
Okay, well, first of all, I thought what we spoke about at the beginning was I wanted to make sure nobody's feelings were going to be hurt. So I messaged the podfic artist and said, these two I'm thinking of doing, I'll definitely ask the author's permission, but how do you feel about that? And the response was basically like, yep, go for it. As long as the authors are fine with it, I'm fine. Okay, fine, that's all good. That's all I'm going to start and get prepared and send a quick message to the author, barely anything. So I think I said something like, I loved your story. I love the podfic. I really want to do a repod of it. Hope you're fine with it. And that was clearly not enough information for the author, and I feel really embarrassed now. But
For some authors, that would probably be more than enough, but I'll get to that later.
The response was really nice. She was like, I'm going to quote here. Thank you very much. I'm very flattered, but I feel like since a podfic of it already exists, I'd rather it not get repotted. And I then went on Twitter and went, oh, I feel really upset now. This is upsetting. I wanted to do this. I was so excited. Oh, and I had to start all over again. And then Parakeet was, did you tell her the podfic artist was okay with it? Did you explain what repotting was? I was like, no, I did none of these things. So I replied, essentially taking all the blame. I did this completely wrong. I'm really sorry. Please give me another chance to explain properly. And I quoted what the original Potterfic artist had said, you know, that she was fine with it, and I linked to Multipodicity and the fan lore page.
There is a fan lore page for repotting. I know, yes. Because I wrote it.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Of course you did.
I meant my American accent project. Just like, thank you so much for giving me more of your time. I hope this communication isn't completely upsetting for you. And then I got a positive response, and I am going to do it.
Awesome. So, that's really cool.
There's two things from that I really want to talk about. One is, there's more than two. There's lots of things. Get this from all angles. One thing that, as someone who spent a lot of time reading blanket permission statements, because I was the one that started the master list of blanket permission to Podfic authors. I totally butchered that name, whatever. You know, it's on Fanlore. Check it out. because I was maintaining that, I've read a hell of a lot of authors giving blanket permission. And it is really, really common for an author to say something along the lines of, you can podfic any of my stuff, but fic X, Y, or Z, because they've already been podficked. And I always feel really sad when I see that. Or I've also seen, which kind of doesn't even strike me as blanket permission, I don't generally add it to the list, is people saying, you can I'm down with podficking, but let me know first, because I want to keep track of who's podficking what so that there aren't duplicates. And whenever I see, like, they come from a really well-meaning place, but they're also not representing the kind of podfic fandom that I would like to see. So, in this case, when you were like, when you were so upset, like, one of the things that I would always say for people in this situation is, if you get a no, don't, like, obviously every situation, it has to be what you're comfortable with and the kind of vibes the author is giving off. But especially when they're being really nice and they're like, this case, the author was just trying to look out for the other podficker. I think it's, don't just leave it there. Talk about it more. Bring it, like, don't be afraid to start a discussion. Because especially in this case, she was trying to protect the podficker's interest, but the podficker didn't need that. They didn't necessarily want that. And there's a lot of situations where the authors think they're doing what the podficker would want. And if that's not the case, then, like, I know personally, I have a remix statement on my journal and on my AO3 profile and on my webpage and all those lovely places saying, like, you can remix the hell out of my stuff, I don't care. But I specifically mention, if you want to repod something of mine, go for it. And because I don't want some author stopping someone else from podficking something just because I've already done it. Because I'm totally always promoting podfic whenever I can. But it's something where, like, if that's, I think, and I really want to, again, come from the idea that this isn't, like, authors trying to be mean. And I think everyone realizes this is coming from a place where they're trying to be helpful, where they're like, well, I don't want someone to waste time, or I don't want to hurt the feelings of someone that's already asked. So they're trying to be a middleman, when maybe that's not what the podfickers want. Maybe some podfickers aren't down with repotting. I can't deny that. So some podfickers probably appreciate that. But it's just, they're trying to be nice, but sometimes it's not really something. So if you're an author, I wouldn't have that as your default assumption that the podficker wants to be the only podfic out there, because there's a lot of podfickers that don't feel that way. So, you know, if that is an interest that you're willing to protect, I would ask the podficker their opinion first. Or personally, my opinion, if you're not okay, if you want to try and protect the podfickers that have come first, don't say no. Say, I want to check with them first. I guess one thing that I will add, if you're a podficker and are thinking of doing it, I personally would never say that you have to talk to the other podficker. And I'm hesitant to say that because I'm someone who's really casual about it and be like, I don't care if someone repods my stuff. But I also recognize that there are other pod figures that will have hurt feelings. So I don't think it's ever a bad thing to, like, talk to the pod figure. Personally, I would just want to say, these are my reasons for wanting to do a repod, these artistic reasons. And, you know, even if your reasons for wanting to repod are that you think the original version sucked, and, like, I would never recommend...
Never tell. Guys, even if that's the reason you're repotting something, which is a valid reason, don't say that.
Talk about the different ways that you want to explore it and just say, like, just so you know, these are the reasons, and then that way there aren't hurt feelings, and then that way...
Yeah, I think my what I was trying to say was, you don't have to phrase it as a, like, a, is this okay question, you know, because you don't...
Informing
is good. Just you don't have to ask them for permission, but do it in a way that still feels like you're respecting their feelings.
Yeah, because if you're not going to, like, if you want to do it and it you don't, especially if you don't care what the pod figure says, you're going to do it regardless. Don't ask, because then you're just going to look like a bitch if you do it anyways.
Right.
And some people go in with the mindset of it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And, you know, I've done that occasionally. I can't totally knock that mentality. But again, I'm not actually at the feeling that you should have to ask each time. But we are a community, and you don't want people to have harsh feelings against each other. So, you know, if just send an email saying, just so you know, I'm going to be repotting something. Here are my reasons that don't have anything that are, like, and make it about you and not about them necessarily. Or just, like, I want to interrogate it from a different angle. I want to, I just really, really love this fic, and it means so much to me that I want to devote the kind of time to doing this.
I wanted to get into these characters' heads because they really spoke to me here, and I wanted to... You know, anything. There's so many reasons, so many ways that you can go about it.
I think repotting has become recognized enough, certainly by the hardcore podfickers. There's, and I use that term lovingly.
I will widen that term to anybody who regularly follows Amplificathon, I think.
And I wouldn't even say, like, I wouldn't try and even be that broad, just because I think there's a lot of people that follow that. Don't follow the discussions. There's a lot of discussions that happen in comments.
I suppose that's true.
And, like, I know a lot of these discussions happen in Podfic Meta that a lot of people don't follow. But if you're someone who's – and also if you're really monofanish, you might not notice that repotting's happening if it's happening outside of your fandom. But if you're someone who's following Podfic culture – they're going to be aware of the repotting phenomena. And I think even if some people have personal hurt feelings over it, they realize that, like, if there's a lot of people that realize, okay, this is how I feel, but it's probably not the intention. And there's a lot of people that are like, okay, I personally don't love the idea, but I'm not going to stop you. And so I don't know how much, like, kickback you would get from someone if you go and talk to them, especially if you're very nice about it and be like, this is what I'm thinking of doing or what I'm going to be doing. Then I think most people just, like, okay, there's always going to be some people that are going to, like, pitch a fit, but that's true of any group. So
that's just what happens on the internet.
Yeah. So that was one thing about how to ask. And we talked about why authors just shouldn't assume. When it comes to blanket permission, really, it's so much easier to just not get involved as an author. If you wash your hands of it, then it's all in the podficker's hands. Or if you are someone that doesn't want to wash your hands of it, if you want to have that involvement, don't give blanket permission. I think there's a way, like, you can, I think it can be really useful to have a statement on your master post or whatever saying, I like Podfic, talk to me about it.
Yeah.
That isn't blanket permission.
Yeah, absolutely.
But can still encourage people that people know.
You can be Podfic proactive without being on the blanket permission list.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you think we should have a blanket permission statement for potfickers to put down whether they are pro repotting or not.
I do.
Yeah, I have it on this. I have a thing on my user profile, but should there be like a post or we're all
like the blanket
say,
person post that's like the blanket
like the one we have for the
post.
Author.
One thing that I would maybe suggest is the thing is running these lists is a bitch. As yeah. someone who runs them, they're a bitch. And they're all over the place, and you have to know about them for it to be useful. One thing that I would maybe suggest that's easier than that, join Multipodicity. You don't even need to follow it. Just join it.
That's true.
Because people are going to assume that if you're part of that comm, you're okay with it.
I mean, I would almost say at this point, like, my view is kind of, if you really, really don't want somebody to repod your stuff, maybe put a thing in your username about that, because I'm just, as another podficker, I'm going to assume that if I approach you, I mean, and this is probably a faulty assumption, but what can I say? If I approach you and, like, I haven't actively seen, and, you know, because I do read the discussions on this stuff. If I haven't actively seen you say places like, you know, like, no, I really don't want anybody repotting my stuff. I'm really uncomfortable with that idea. I probably assume that you're just like, you know, that you would be fine with me repotting your stuff. And if you really truly are uncomfortable with that, then I don't think it's a bad idea to put something like that in like a, you know, master post or user info or something like that.
But one thing you need to be aware is that, one, not everyone's going to respect that. And I say that not meaning that they're deliberately going to, I mean, some people might deliberately not respect that, but repotting happens by accident. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen by accident. So, especially if an author is given blanket permission.
Yeah. I mean, that DCU fic where I like, it only, where I was going to record it and I just happened to check Amplificathon before I opened Audacity. Like, that was pure chance. Shannon is on the blanket permission list, and I was literally 5 minutes away from recording that fic, and I would have finished recording that fic without knowing that another version had been posted if I hadn't refreshed Amplificathon right before I started recording.
And there's a lot of people, like, I'm one of them, who I don't ask permission to podfic something until I know I'm going to finish, which can often be at the point where I'm, like, making the cover art.
Yeah, I do the same thing often.
And, like, I know, as an example, Revolutionary Joe was the first person to publicly post Drastically Redefining Protocol. She went and recorded it on her own and sat on it for months, because when she went and asked for permission, the author was like, oh, someone else is already working on it. And so she was told no. And the person who was working on it, I don't know if they ever finished it. I don't think they did. They were working on it and taking a long time. And all these people were like, oh, I really want a podfic of this. And there's a lot of people asking for a podfic of it. And Joe's kind of like, well, I have one, but I can't post it. And then someone just, I remember watching the conversation. I don't remember who suggested it. It was like, ask again. And this time the author went and talked to the podficker. And the podficker was like, yeah, she should go and post her version of it. And so Joe did. And that's how, but she like sat on it and had it done on her own for a long time before it got posted.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's really, I mean, this is kind of why I am not in favor of authors playing intermediary for, you know, permission on their podfic if the worry is multiple versions, because things like this happen. And I am generally of the opinion that if somebody has a version of something out there and the only reason they're not posting is because the author is waiting on some other person to finish, like, you know what?
I know that for me, if I have a version completely finished and I go and ask permission, I don't inform them that I have a version completely finished, because I know that if you say that, a lot of people will feel pressure to say yes.
Oh, no. Absolutely. But like even just if the reason that – whether or not the author knows that it's completely finished, like if the reason that – you know, that's not – I hadn't heard that story about Joe and Revolutionary – or Joe and – Drastically Redefining Protocol, but I have heard that almost that exact same story of like probably three other podfics.
And I know that there's a lot of, like, one of the reasons why I don't ask permission first is because I'm afraid of that.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of project, well, that's one of the reasons. There's a lot of projects that I've started that I never finished, or that, like, I get really excited about. I'm like, oh, I'm going to record this. And I might not even have a chance to record. Like, I might not even get to the point where I bring out my mic. And if I went and asked the minute that I was like, oh, I want to record this, like, there are people that, like, that will ask permission and then never do.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, life gets in the way, their interests change, whatever reason. And if an author is guarding that fic and it's got, like, because someone called dibs.
Yeah. No.
And they never finish it.
Like, no, I think
that's problematic.
Yeah. I really think that, like, the whole calling dibs thing. I mean, really, like, calling dibs, like, that's kind of like my whole, why I'm so, like, pro repotting, because, like, I don't think the whole, like, calling dibs thing is, like, something that we should really be, you know.
Especially since a lot of people, quote unquote, call dibs without the intention of doing that. So if an author is trying to protect the interests of someone who did call dibs and they're like, oh yeah, you know what, maybe I'm not going to do it now.
Yeah.
Then that's information, like, certainly, I always feel that if an author is going to try and protect a relationship that they've already established with a podficker, that podficker should be aware of it. Because sometimes you're making assumptions that are incorrect. And they're done with the best of intentions, but they're still incorrect.
Right, right. So, yeah. Authors, to any of you, any authors listening, seriously, don't talk to your, if you want to control the podfic of your fic, that's totally fine, but, you know, don't just say no because you think that somebody else has called dibs. Talk to all the parties involved.
And, like, what Night Tracer had the issue with, where she didn't even, like, you didn't even assume that the author would say no to your replotting. Like,
yeah, it didn't occur to me whatsoever.
And I think that if you are aware that a repod's going on, acknowledging that, and especially acknowledging any additional information you have, is only for the good. Because, like, I wouldn't expect someone to come up and ask me about it if they could repod one of the stories that I've done, because I give blanket permission. So if you, like, and if you had wanted to do one of mine and an author had said no based on that, you could kind of be like, but look, she gives blanket permission. She's okay with it. And that would be totally fine. And I would certainly, if anyone does want to do mine, the author's giving them problems because of me, then I would totally come out and support them too. So I had a little bit, I guess my last point was the future of repotting. Do we have
there should be more of it?
Well, I guess what I was thinking
so far, it's come, especially in the last, like, year. I think it's only just gonna become more and more, like, the norm and accepted. I really, really do.
Yeah, and I think my idea behind putting that post in is just that, like, you know, in my utopian future, when every fic gets podficked, or, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't ever think that every fic will be podficked, but when there's so much getting podficked, that people don't have, like, a giant list that they can fall back on if someone else takes over podfic something first. I really think we need to kind of think of the future then too, not just like, well, you can go podfic something else, but that might be a good excuse now, but it won't always hold water, hopefully. Especially, I think, with everyone being attached to their iPhones, their iPods, their MP3 players, they're constantly bringing, like, people are constantly walking around with their earphones in. I can really see podfic getting a much bigger place. Like, I look at how much easier it is to get your hands on, like, pro audiobooks than it used to be. People are just used to want to be able to multitask and bring stuff around with them. So I definitely think podfic in general is going to have a bigger place. And when that happens, repotting needs to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
For it to be a happy environment. Because, like, you know, where would we be if there was only one high school fic out there, or one MPro, or one Amnesia? People get crazy thoughts in their heads. So, like, there can only be one podfic out there. And we are here to dispel those crazy thoughts.
Hopefully we have.
Not one podfic to rule them all.
Yes. No, 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 no. Many, many podfics. All of the podfics. living in Germany. All of the different versions.
And thanks for listening. And your hosts have been Patika,
Bessie Boo,
and Night Tracer.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.